it's not. I actually agree with your sentiment entirely.
I'm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just had somebody else join us.
Hello, Barbara. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi. Hi, Lynn.
Okay, guys, it's really cold here, and I know I'm not going to get any sympathy from anyone, but I'm bitching about it.
Is this in Washington?
Wait a minute, Glenn. I know I'm being recorded, so that was a technical term, right?
Yes, Marilyn, no. Are we the only three on the phone?
Yes, at the moment we are.
We are, Glenn. Have you already started the recording?
Yes, I have, because last time when I didn't start it in time, I had problems.
Barbara, would you talk to, would you, maybe you and Glenn and I should actually talk a little bit about planning at another time?
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. I'm in California this week, so my schedule's a little bit easier to coordinate.
Great. We'll take the issue of trying to get together for a planning discussion on this other meeting offline. Thank you.
Okay.
Nicholas just joined.
Hey, Nicholas.
Good afternoon, Nicholas.
Hey, Nicholas, it's Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
And to anyone who's received 60 copies of my posting of the announcement about the strategic plan meeting, I apologize. There were people last night on the phone with me and online with me telling me I had just sent them 60 copies. So what I said was, okay, so say you're going to come and I'll stop spamming you.
Yeah, right.
Nicholas, you'll be there, won't you?
Marilyn, Glenn, I will know by the end of the week, and it looks like I will be able to make it, yes.
Good.
Great.
Hi, it's Jordan Buchanan.
Hi, Jordan. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Have a nice holiday.
I did, except for the fact, well, it's probably good, but I was away from phone and internet almost the entire time.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was nice, and sometimes a little frustrating as well, but...
Has Jeff had his baby yet, or his wife, rather?
I have not. I don't see him online today, but I have not heard.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He has, and I don't.
He has.
Well, somebody's promised me a picture, so when he gets on the phone, you know, we'll have to see if he wants to. But I understand, yes.
Oh.
But that's the. I don't have any other details.
Is he going to be on the phone? Because
I think so.
Okay.
We'll find out in a couple minutes, I guess.
I just did a posting, and I'm not sure it's made it through.
Yeah, I just saw it, Marilyn.
Okay.
Yeah, it came through the list. So.
Sorry it was late. I don't know. My excuse is too much to do. How's that?
Fair enough.
Did you see the transcript?
Yes. Excellent. The service is so good, really.
Tony Harris.
Tom Pillow.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Marilyn.
Jordan, we have on the line now Tony Harris. Tom Pillow, Nicholas. And Barbara, and their apologies from Milton Miller.
This is Steve Metallich joining.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Okay, so we're still missing the registries.
We're missing registries.
Non-commercial, but I guess Milton's not planning on being here, maybe someone else. And then also the ALAC, right?
Yes.
Okay, we'll give them a couple more minutes. Of course, I don't know what the agenda for this call is, so hopefully Jeff's going to join us.
Jordan, the agenda was supposed to be that people were supposed to send in models for tiered access by the 14th of January. But
I don't see many of those.
Nothing has. I've seen nothing.
Yes.
And David Ferris was most upset because he said he didn't really know what he should do in that connection.
Well, you know, I'll say this, and then I'll come back to it whenever we actually start the call. What I had intended to do was to write a more formal contribution from the BC saying that the task force has not reached consensus that it endorses shared access. However, we submitted my short email today, not by the 14th, suggests that there are a couple of existing models of shared access that should be looked at. And, Jordan, I'm going to make a proposal that we undertake to do a whiteboarding exercise during the call to outline what we think different models, different questions are that would go to a model. Because I think...
David Maher joining.
Hi, David.
I understand Tony's perspective and can really appreciate it, but... You know, tiered access could be a question of all data is gathered, only certain data is displayed. Then the question is, which data is displayed and how does a, quote, authorized party get access to the other data? Is it only through a court order or is it through an administrative process that is defined by consensus policy, et cetera. So I think it's possible to work through that on the call today in terms of thinking about what some of the ideas are.
Yeah, I mean, that may be, I guess, the point, the idea behind the models was, I think you're right, there are a lot of different, you know, there's a lot of questions around this, and I think we've all been through, I mean, even back in KL, Bruce put together a decision tree, I think, with a lot of questions, and the idea behind presenting the models, which I guess hasn't been successful so far, was to have attempts to sort of come up with sets of answers to them for us to at least sort of think about, you know, various different approaches that might be taken.
This is David Maher. Is there a queue?
No, we're just sort of chatting informally at this point,
oh,
David. So.
Okay, I just thought I would bring to everyone's attention the CIRA, the Canadian Internet Authority that runs .ca, they've made a very interesting proposal for limiting the amount of information that's available to the public from the Who's for .ca, and it's very carefully thought out. I'll send around the URL for their website, which has the details of the proposal, and it does accommodate intellectual property, law enforcement, and other interests that would need more information than just a public inquiry.
Yeah, David, I had proposed before, I had submitted this twice, and I proposed it again in my email, that we invite them to brief us. What I was told by people is that this is a proposal, and because the original email I saw was that it's in place, but it's actually a proposal.
That's right. Yeah, that's what their URL, the website says.
But that would be great if you could send that around. I think hearing from them would be good. This was staff developed, and that's why that's what I understand. So they're taking the public comments process. So this would probably be, you know, great to hear from them.
Yeah, their public comments period just ended. It ended January 12th. That they have, they still have the draft online, and they even have a little policy summary and highlights section.
Hello, Thomas Just joined. Apologies for being late.
That's okay. We haven't actually started the call. We're just chatting.
Right. I think a couple other people may have joined while we were chatting. Is anyone else not in?
We'll start right at his point.
Yeah, David Ferris has joined. Unfortunately, I have to leave at like 20 till 12.
Okay, Paul Sarah, David Ferris. Great. Well, we have plenty of people. Unfortunately, it seems that Jeff is not one of them. But fortunately, it seems I've returned from vacation just as he's had a baby. So it's good that we have two chairs, I guess. So it sounds like the original agenda for this call was to cover proposals for models for tiered access, but as we were sort of chatting about informally, We have not yet received any of those. Marilyn's just sent an email to the list from the business constituency with a couple of ideas and has suggested at the outset of the call we might use this as sort of a whiteboarding exercise to cover some of the issues related to, I'll let Marilyn speak for herself in just a moment, but I guess in terms of an agenda, I'd like to discuss some, at least the proposals from Marilyn in terms of some further invitations to get additional sort of outside input for the group, as well as to see, you know, if people still think we should be pursuing this idea of getting models or whatever, what other additional steps we might take in order to move ahead along the tiered access work, because so far we've had no submissions of proposals for tiered access models. Is there anything else anyone wants to cover in terms of an agenda for the call?
Jordan, I'd like to add to the agenda the administrative, just a short administrative discussion about our other two policy activities and how to progress the meeting with the ICANN staff on what I call, there's item one that's out for constituency comment, item two, work that we did on an alternative procedure that's kind of on hold because we're waiting for a dialogue with the ICANN staff. And I'd like to just do the administrative part of that. We could do that at the end, given we only have David for a brief time.
Yeah, I think that's wise. anything else? Okay, so in terms, I'd like to start just and chat a little bit about the idea of these sort of models that we've discussed previously of having concrete submissions within the scope of tiered access. We've not set a deadline of last Friday and haven't received any proposals at this point. And I guess I'm wondering, are people working on things that they'd like to submit, or is this just something where we're not going to get any submissions and is a dead idea that we don't, that may have seemed useful, but we don't think is actually going to be helpful in progressing the work?
Thomas here. Could I get in the queue, please?
Yeah, Thomas. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Thomas.
Just for the record, as you know, ALEC has submitted a relatively specific proposal for a tiered access policy during the initial constituency statement collection.
Sorry, Thomas, you're right.
Almost a year ago, we have rejected that proposal. I also once again point to that authentication framework from Senator Rob some time ago, and if Task Force wishes to have these resubmitted maybe in somewhat revised or smoothened form, then I'd of course be happy to do that. And I apologize for having missed the deadline last week. Too much real work to do.
Yeah, understood. It is probably helpful to reflect on previous submissions we've had. I think Tom Keller had also submitted, I don't know if that was on behalf of the registrars or personal submission, but I know that there was a, I think, Tom, you made some sort of proposal as well. Is that right?
Well, not that I could prevent myself, but I certainly can do something which is probably rather similar to the same thing what Thomas was sending around.
Maybe
the basic idea we have as well as registrars.
Okay, maybe I'm misremembering. Okay. So we do have some, I guess we could turn back to the submissions that Thomas had made, one on the straw man on the authentication framework, as well as the previous tiered access model or thoughts that the ALEC had submitted back in the first round of the original task forces. Any other thoughts on this? Is anyone else either working on things or have other ideas of specific models that might have been submitted previously?
Can I, I'm in the queue, right?
Well, no, but now you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on mute. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Marilyn.
We're in an interesting situation in the D.C. because we don't have consensus in the D.C.
and we don't actually have consensus in the task force about, you know, what we have consensus on is working on this issue and examining it. And so what I did is submit a recommendation that, along with the consideration of other approaches or forms of tiered access, the BC would like to see an examination by the task force of anonymizing services, which are a form of tiered access, and of dot post in what it will offer as a form of tiered access. Dot post is not operational yet, but still it's in under negotiations with the ICANN staff, and I'm not exactly sure when it's expected to launch, but it's certainly moving forward. Those would be two, I'd like to consider those two specific contributions from the BC, as well as the proposal I made that we, hear from .ca, .name, and ask any of the CCs if they are presently using a form of tiered access. I'm not sure that we don't need to look. We may need to look very quickly at other of the sponsored GTLDs to see if they are providing a form of tiered access. I don't know that they are, but it's worth our asking ourselves that question very quickly.
Yeah, understood. Let me just comment, first of all, with regards to the intent of the solicitation for models. Not that we have decided that, you know, that any given model is necessarily, not that we've blessed the idea of tiered access, or that we are considering which implementation of tiered access to implement, but simply to have some concrete, because there's so many, as we saw with the decision tree, there's so many possible questions and permutations on this topic. We thought it would be helpful to be grounded with some specific ideas instead of, you know, just a long list of questions, which I think we've actually done a fairly good job of identifying and having some attempts to coagulate those into a set of answers that might make sense, at least from the perspective of submitter. But I think it is a fair chunk of work to undertake, and it may be that we don't have, you know, with the exception of perhaps the ALAC submission, that people simply don't have the time to attempt to put those together, at least not the current task force participants. If so, I think it's perfectly valid to go and look at what other parties have already done in this space. So I guess I'm not hearing that anyone is planning on doing anything anytime soon. So it seems that our options at this point are to consider the ALAC model as sort of a one point of discussion, and or to also pursue looking at some of these other models or these other approaches that CIRA, .post, other CC or sponsored GTLDs may have undertaken, as well as possibly these anonymizing services. So I would suggest that probably looking at some of these outside of these other implementations seems like the right path to take. We're not going to be able to get a lot of further discussion points, I guess.
Well, Jordan, I just want to make one other point, mm-hmm. if I can. Regardless of how many contributions we get from members of the task force, I think we need to do this data gathering and awareness or informing ourselves of the experience of other parties. One of the things we learned in the earlier task force, and I don't know the status of it now, but what we learned is that originally .name intended to charge a $2 fee. And while that seemed reasonable and not a significant barrier, the problem was that the credit card companies won't process a fee of $2 for less than a $4 or $5 processing charge. So, you know, we learned some practical things when we talked to .name in their efforts at that time to implement this. And that was valuable, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree that, I mean, there's certainly not any incompatibility between internal proposals and external data gathering in any case. But it seems like, given that we don't have a lot of internal sort of proposals for as basis for talking points, that it might be additionally necessary to look at some outside things. So I know Thomas wanted to talk. Does anyone else want to jump in the queue right now? Okay, Thomas.
Let me briefly follow up on the proposal to look deeper into anonymization services at this point. We had this proposal on the task force number 2 about a year ago. About a year ago, I ended up being the person doing the research there. I'm not going to do it again. That's one point. The other point, I'm somewhat concerned that focusing on anonymization services will put us on a tangent and basically distract us from the work we should be doing. Anonymization services basically mean that there is no kind of tiered access to the data that are related to the contracted party from a registrar's point of view. But instead, we somehow replace the contracted party by another party that then acts as a straw man. That's what these anonymization services boil down to. We have seen that in the past. We have seen in the past that these services are anything between essentially internal to the registrar and the most dubious actors you can find in the registration business. And I don't think that these services come even close to being some kind of a, quote, policy proposal or policy alternative or whatever. So I would respectfully suggest that with respect to anonymization services, we stick to the lessons learned by Task Force 2 and not invest more time into it. I'll certainly not invest more of my time into this.
Yeah, Jordan, can I just make a comment?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Anyone else want to?
Marilyn. Steve, if I could get him
to
queue up.
Okay, Marilyn, then Steve.
I talked to some of the registrars while we were at Cape Town and learned that from the perspective of at least a couple of the registrars that there's a perspective that that this is a growing service that they are offering, that they don't have data about who's using it, what the characteristics are. But one person from the community told me that he believed that 30% of the, or maybe more, of the larger registrars offer a form of anonymizing service. And if it is that high, and that he thought that some of these services had been introduced recently, if it is that high, then I think a quick look at this, maybe by just asking the registrars who offer the service to tell us a little bit about the service, the services that they offer, would be a quick way to go about it. But this would be a significant, and I say offer. I didn't say that they had that percentage of take-up, but still. It could be information that the task force should know.
I also think information on take-up would be interesting to know, too.
Hmm.
I'm not quite sure about...
Okay, I want to get in the queue.
Please.
Yeah, okay, Steve and then Tom.
Yeah,
I would like you to.
Sorry, but then Paul.
On this point, I mean, it may be that we're talking past each other a bit, anonymizing services aren't necessarily the same thing as services that are operated in accordance with the provisions of the registrar accreditation agreement. They really do create a tiered access type model because the general public has access to certain data, but then a requester who has reasonable evidence of actionable harm has access to different data. So I think it would be useful to look at how these operate, and I would also agree with Marilyn that the place to start is with registrars that offer this type of service rather than with third parties, because at least there's a greater possibility that the registrar doctors that are involved in this sector refers probably more to the third parties that may not be in compliance with you.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Tom?
Thank you, Jordan. Well, the way I view it is that this anonymizing services certainly do kind of create of a kind of tier, which means that you can look up certain data on the WHIS, but that's the data which is provided, well, by the registrars providing that service, and you have no idea who's behind that. But what we're talking about is WHIS and WHIS is and a tiered access in WHIS, which should supply different tiers in form of that you should be able, if you're authenticated, to look it up. But right now there's only more or less one level you have. You can look it up in WHIS, and even if it is an anonymized service, you only get that set of data. And you, there's no way to qualify to get more data out of that. And I don't really think that these kind of servers are the right thing to focus on right now.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Paul?
Just, I agree with the previous two guys talking, and I just wanted to add one thing is I agree that it is type of tiered access, but the, one of the problems with it is it's not consistent amongst registrars how to get to this other tier. Some registrars, Enam is one, has some kind of rules. Others have different rules. So it's a tiered access, but it's not consistent across registrars.
This is Steve. Could I get back in the queue?
Sure. I have Thomas first and then Steve. Anyone else want to be in the queue? Okay, Thomas?
Well, let me put it like this. We can, of course, go on to have the tiered access discussion that we should be having in the disguise of this discussing whether or not it's good to have multiple models across registrars. That's one way. The other way is to really go down into the actual policy discussion. So maybe it's useful when talking about tiered access, when talking about anonymization services and whether or not to study them, to figure out if there is anyone on this group who would actually be willing to provide the resources to do this study. Because otherwise, we are just left wasting time. As I said, this time I am not going to provide the resources. If the people who would like to have a closer look at anonymization services are volunteering to do that work within a well-defined time frame, then I don't think I have an objection against looking further at it. But as I said, I'm not providing the resources this time, and I think the task force should for a brief moment think about what kind of resources are available and how to best spend them.
Okay, thanks, Thomas. Steve?
Yeah, I think Thomas raises a good point about resources. He did do a lot of research on this early on, which I think would be useful for us, and I think this is something that we could put some time and resources into. But I think what Paul said really indicates why this would be a topic worth pursuing farther, and when he said that some registrars have different rules than other registrars about how you get into the tier that gives you access to more information. I think that's exactly the kind of discussion we would want to have, because that's a model, and there are different models for it. Let's find out which ones work and which ones don't work, or what are the pros and cons of the different ones. And I would hope that Paul could help us with that, and that Tom could help us with identifying other registrars that offer this service, and that we should start with inviting those registrars to present about how their services work. It seems to me that would be the first step, anyway.
I as Paul speaking, I'd be happy to help discuss our particular implementation of it. I just want to add one other point about the one difference is it's the way it works now, there's a economic model that goes along with it. We sell it, and so it gives us a incentive to build out the system and so on.
Okay, let me
yeah, I just want to make one comment that's more administrative than I want.
Sure.
Mr. Barbara is I think it's very possible to have these conversations and ask the presenters to limit themselves to providing us with information that is publicly available, and that way we don't actually have a problem later down the line when people question whether or not we're examining pricing. We're not. So we would, in doing this, I just want to just remind everybody that we need to set some limits on what kind of information we ask people for, Jordan?
Yeah, understood. I mean, I would also note it may be issues like uptake, you know, may also have, you know, registrars may regard that as competitive information that they might not want to place.
Right.
So unfortunately, that gets to the heart of some of the questions I think we're curious about.
It's tricky because on the uptake question, you know, I agree with Marilyn about, you know, if you want to disclose your, we're not talking about prices. On the uptake side, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal, I believe, like 6-8 months ago, and about uptake. And I think I sent around an email, I forget, I think it was to this group, but there was an error in that because Enom coincidentally, about 3 weeks before that article came out, had registered like 100,000 names for a certain customer who didn't want people to know their identity because they were working on a project. It was to use all these names, and they didn't want their competitors to know. And so then just about 2 weeks after that article came out, the competitor launched their product and removed the what we call ID Protect from all that 100,000 names. And basically that skewed the results of that article. So it's doing a survey, you have to, it's not as easy as you think. You have to take into account a lot of stuff.
Right, right.
Can I get a cue, please?
Yeah, Tom, then I want to see if we can close out at least part of this discussion here and make some progress. So go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I still want to point, go back to the point that Thomas made before. I still kind of fail to see where actually there's the connection to who is. I mean, it's something what registrars put into the registry system, and it has absolutely nothing to do with who is, and it's not the solution to it as well. So before we really engage into more talks and more investigations into that direction, I would like to be convinced why we're doing that, actually.
Okay, well, so let me just, in thinking about this a little bit, it seems that in Task Force 2, we did do some, I know that Thomas did it and others were involved with doing some research into these services. I also know that here, the Task Force 2 has suggested that some further work was necessary or would be useful, I guess, in this space and had some additional questions and information that we thought was useful before policy action could take place. But at the same time, I guess I'm sympathetic to concerns that to a certain degree, although these services have some overlap with tiered access, you know, we did, I think, make a conscious decision a while back to, you know, focus the work of the task force in three areas, at least in the short term. So maybe as a way of you know, instead of opening up the broad scope of these anonymizing services as an additional topic for the task force to be considering right now, if we look back at, I think, at Marilyn's original proposal, which is just to perhaps look at maybe a few individual instances of anonymizing services as possible inputs to the tiered access discussion, then that might be an appropriate use. And it seems like Paul perhaps has already indicated that within certain parameters he's willing to talk about how Enom services function as one example of that, perhaps. That might be a useful input for us to look at that along with some various other specific other approaches to tiered access that we might consider as starting points for further discussion within the context of tiered access as opposed to a general discussion of these anonymizing services. that seem like a useful approach to people? Or does that, well, let me ask Marilyn a specific question. Does that capture the, your intent, Marilyn, if we were to ask Paul and maybe one or two other people that offer these types of services to, you know, comment, to just give us some feedback as to how they operate the service and, you know, what whatever other additional information the task force thinks might be useful within the publicly available information on the services?
I think that's a very good start.
Okay, great. So let me suggest that we probably go down that route, but let me also talk about briefly some of the other ideas that we've discussed on this call, which are other areas where we might get some other data points, I guess, in the tiered access discussion in terms of what people are doing. And those are, I think so far in this call, we've talked about Sierra and .post and .name. Is anyone else aware of any other TLDs that operate a registry level tiered access model? I know that Marilyn had suggested some STLDs might. David, are you aware of any registries that operate, any of the STLD registries that operate a tiered access service?
The only one I know about is the Canada.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, that's not an STLD, right? That's a CCTLD.
Right, yeah, but he was just saying that's the only one.
I think there are a couple of the Latin Americans who do, and I can send an email, Jordan, to a couple of the contacts I have in the CC community and ask them if they're aware of any.
Yeah, let me suggest this, I guess, as perhaps a working course of action for us, is that we do, since it appears that the idea of getting a variety of internal models is not forthcoming, that we do solicit feedback from various groups and maybe get them to do briefings with us, as Marilyn suggested, as we did with the Chris Byers briefing, line up a few TLDs to come in and talk about specific implementations that they've undertaken that seem relevant to the tiered access work. So we've got three identified so far, and it may be that others exist as well that we'd find through, you know, soliciting various CCTLD groups, or maybe David going back to the registries and asking if any STLDs have implementations or proposals out in order to implement something in the near term or something that's already implemented. Does that seem reasonable to everyone? Good. So Marilyn, I think that would be helpful if you have, or anyone, if you have contacts that you think might be useful in terms of soliciting, you know, information, the TLD operators that may operate some sort of tiered access systems. And I guess in the, I can reach out to, certainly to the .name people, and maybe, David, are the .post people, are they part of the GTLD constituency yet?
No, they haven't signed their contract yet.
They haven't signed their contract.
Sorry, I was on mute. There are observers.
They're observers.
But that means you have a contact.
Yeah.
So we might ask David to reach out to them. And do we have someone, I imagine someone's familiar with the Sierra people as well?
Yeah, and that's fairly easy. We could send an email to Maureen and ask who is the liaison, is the nominating committee appointee to the council. So that would probably be sort of the right approach, to just send an email to Maureen.
Yeah, that's true. I can go. I'll go ahead and do that on behalf of the task force.
Jordan, Phil Colebrook and I had an exchange of emails a few weeks ago that he would be the person to send the request to.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I'm familiar with all the guys at that name. So, I'll start with Phil at least. And then David, if you could maybe reach out to the .post people and get the relevant contact information and either just make her, you know, indicate that we're interested or just pass on the contact information to me. I'd be glad to reach out to them for some further discussion on this.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks, David. So I think that's where some of, you know, our next steps and tiered access are, and hopefully we can do this in a fairly timely manner, although as we saw with the Chris Spires discussion, I did, you know, with a lot of people involved, it can take a little while to get these discussions together. But I think once we have at least those three additional sort of approaches, plus the anonymizing services, plus the ALAC proposal, that will give us a fairly firm basis to, I think, have some grounded discussions in terms of how we might proceed on tiered access and to give us some more comprehensive views on how various approaches might answer some of the questions in our decision tree. Oh, Mark Schneider has just contributed that DE has some sort of tiered access. So, Tom Keller, are you familiar with that
sure.
at all?
Sure. Well, it's more or less that the members of DNIC have a different kind of access with more data as the regular user has. So that's one tier, but there's no different or differentiation for users or just regular users.
Right.
Yeah, it looks like their differentiation is based on whether you use port 43 or whether you come to their website, whether you use their web front page.
Right. Okay, that still might be useful.
No, it's made by port 43 as well. So there's a member who is, that's how it is called, and it's a different IP, and a set of IP addresses for each member are kind of allowed because they can query certain things.
Yeah, but I think Barbara's right. I think I remember looking at trying to do a whois on a .de name recently, and I got an indication that I got different set of information if I went to the port 80 versus port 43.
No, it's just the same thing.
Like,
it's just that it's one step more down.
There is indeed a difference between port 80 and port 43. With port 43, you get very basic information. If you go to port 80, you have to click through an agreement on what you're going to do with the data, and then you get basically traditional information.
Right.
So there is indeed a difference between the services.
Yeah, okay, so it sounds like they may actually have three tiers then. One, like, for registrars, one for people that agree to terms of services, and one for the general public.
This is David Ferris. I have to drop off. Thank you.
Thanks, David. It sounds like DNIC might be a useful group to talk to as well, just to get some clarification about what exactly they do, what information is made available to various sets of people. Okay, so with that, I will I'll coordinate. It may be that we can get some information from registrars about anonymizing services in the shortest time frame, and we can coordinate a call along those lines fairly soon. And I think that we can. I'll undertake to reach out to some registrars and maybe make an open call in the registrar constituency for registrars that would like to present their services. And then the others, we'll see how expediently we can put together briefings for the task force on. Any other thoughts or comments on the work plan right now for tiered access?
Did I miss this? I had proposed that we include in our group of invited discussants at some point the chair of the CSAC.
You're right. I missed that, not you.
And I'm not suggesting we have to do that early in our data gathering, but I think it'd be good to do it at some point.
And what, Marilyn, can you say what would be your thoughts about the objectives and the specific questions?
Well, if you remember, the CSAC issued a white paper in the previous work of the previous task force, making certain points about the display of data. The other thing that I didn't mention, and I think it'd be useful for us to just do a little bit of outreach on this, is what we heard last week is
that now with Chris slash Iris, the RIRs and the GTLD, who is, will basically be coming together in terms of a standard. We probably want to hear from one of the RIRs. It could be Paul Wilson. It could be Axel from Ryder. Maybe, you know, more available. It could be Ray Pozick from Aaron. I'm not, but we probably ought to hear from them what their views are on tiered access as well.
Right. It's conceivable at this point, I suppose, that each of the RIRs may have different views on this right now.
I'm sorry, Thomas here. I would like to understand a little bit further how the RIR's view on tiered access is relevant here. Quite frankly, they may have policy views and they may have policy analysis done on the topic, or they may not have done that. But an important point that we should not miss here is that ultimately we will have to work based, we will have to work based on the policy environment of GTLDs, and that's different from the one in RIRs. I'm a little concerned that right now we are going off into a very broad expedition on gathering input, and in the end you all come to Luxembourg and we don't have anything in terms of policy that further than where we are now. So before this group agrees to yet another telephone conference and yet another phone conference and yet another expert or advisory committee, we should maybe spend a brief moment once again thinking about resources. This time not so much the resources needed to do some research, but rather the time we are going to spend on telephone conferences gathering input and the time that's left to us to digest that input. We may have to reduce the number of telephone conferences and experts if we plan to have any time for actual policy work before the next or even the second meeting from now on. So
yeah, Jordan, I'd like to respond to that.
Yeah, I
think it would be regrettable if the task force ignored relevant information that would guide effective policy. I think that would not be fulfilling our responsibility, while at the same time I'm sympathetic to the work demands. Let me explain why I mentioned the RIRs. Increasingly, we are told within this task force and by some others that those people who maintain that they need access to accurate data and to the full display of data, that we can go get the same data from, we can use the quote, who is, of the regional registries. I was interested in understanding, for purposes of information and being informed, what changes might be under discussion in the RIR registries. I would assume that they face the same questions about the display of data that some of the registrars have indicated their concern about. It would be easy to send a sort of a liaison statement, that is, just a request to the RIRs or to Paul Wilson and ask him to ask people to respond by email. I don't think this is a particularly onerous request, and we would probably get an effective response by email by just asking the executive directors of each of the RIRs.
I think that's actually a great idea. My worry, to repeat it, is that right now we seem to be in an almost limitless exercise of adding more input. And at some point, the thing that's valuable is our time and our lack of resources or lack of progress. So we will inevitably have to find a balance between creating the Encyclopedia Britannica of who is and coming up with a policy. That's my point. We will have to find a balance, and we won't be able to really go out and follow every possible source of information.
Yeah, I think that's
Steve. Could I get to you?
Sure. Steve, let me just make a brief comment, and then Steve. I think, Thomas, you're right that we do have to balance those concerns. And the view I would take with regards to the CCTLD, these various TLD operator briefings, would be similar to what we had originally imagined for the various models, which is we would try to coordinate a single call where we got a description from various operators, if we can possibly get everyone's schedule lined up to make this possible. It might be slightly longer than our usual calls, depending on the level of response that we get. But basically, within a single session, we could get maybe a brief 10-minute or 15-minute description of the various implementations, along with some questions and answers. And I think actually having them all back-to-back might actually be useful for seeing some of the differences, especially where they're somewhat nuanced between the various operators. And to use that as a input that hopefully we can get through relatively quickly, but can provide us with a broad set of information. Steve?
Yeah, I was just going to say on the RIRs, I think the suggestion Marilyn made in her most recent intervention is a good one, to send an inquiry to them. I think that what distinguishes the RIRs from some of the other things we've been talking about is we've been talking about places where tiered access has already been implemented to some extent, or some aspects of it have been implemented. And whereas with the RIRs, I don't think that has occurred, and obviously there may be something they're looking at, especially in light of the new capabilities that IRIS would give them. So I think it's kind of a second-order question, and I think our first priority would be to get some of the entities that either already have a tiered access system or are talking about implementing it, like .post, as I understand it, get them to sit down with us first.
Correct. I think the main thing that we're looking for in this round of discussion is concrete either proposals or implementations.
Right.
To answer a set of the questions in our decision tree that we discussed in Kuala Lumpur. But certainly I think it sounds like the suggestion to at least email the RIRs for their views is a reasonable one. Hopefully we'll get some sort of response and it'll be posted to a list and people can take it under advisement. I think, to the extent possible, if there's some places where they have good ideas and we may want to take them under advisement, and where we disagree with them because it's a different policy framework, I think that's fine as well. With regards to the CSAC, I think my view on that, Marilyn, would probably be that it is still it's probably more useful to have a dialogue with the CSAC when we have something closer to some concrete ideas about what direction we might be heading in.
Yes, I'm in complete agreement about that. That's why I said I'm not sure that it has to happen now.
Yeah. So duly noted that we will definitely seek some sort of discussion advisement from the CSAC when we do have some ideas as to whether it might have security and stability implications. Any other thoughts or comments on this? I want to spend the last few minutes of the call on the other two topics for the group, which Marilyn had pointed to earlier, the improving notice and the process for resolving conflicts with local laws. I think there's a fair number of action items, mostly for Jeff and myself, coming out of this to try to coordinate something with various other parties on the tiered access comment. And then we'll reach out to those, I think David and Marilyn may be the ones that are reaching out to a few of the related parties, either in the CC community in Maryland or .post for David. Okay, great. So turning briefly to our other two work items right now, the first is improving consent, where we have issued a call for constituency statements. And so far we don't have any constituency statements, but that's okay.
That's because the comments aren't due until January the 31st?
Yes, that's why it's okay. There's a reason why it's okay. I don't think there's any particular update there, except that we're expecting constituency statements by January 31st, and we'll proceed at that point. I don't know that there's additional work items for the, additional work for the task force to do between now and then. With regards to the second work item, which is the approving consent, I think we got bogged down here a little bit because the staff had made some comments, and we thought it would be productive to have some additional dialogue, I guess, between the task force and the staff, and it's probably would be wise for us to schedule that dialogue. So maybe, Barbara, can I maybe work with you this upcoming week to try to schedule?
Yeah, why don't you and I try to do that? I heard from Paul Verhoef that he also really wants to get this scheduled, so I think everybody's ready to do it. You know, we just need to pick a day and time. And ideally, you know, obviously the regular meeting time of the task force would be...
Yeah, that's what I was about to suggest. Maybe if we could do it next week or the week after in our regular meeting time, it seems like it would be the easiest for the task force participants at the very least. Marilyn, I know you had raised the item. Did you want to add anything else to...
No. It was just I wanted to see us moving ahead with scheduling.
Yep, absolutely. So I'll work with Barbara this week, and we'll try to coordinate a call with the staff in the near future during one of our regular meeting slots, if at all possible. So right now, currently, we do not have a next call scheduled. I will endeavor to make sure that the upcoming calls are going to be during this regular Tuesday slot, and there's a lot, I think, for Jeff and I to try to schedule over the coming weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to get something scheduled, if not next week, starting the week after. And if it is going to be next week, I'll try to do it in the next day or two to get make sure we get the time on everyone's calendar.
Maybe we should just talk about, you know, I think Thomas raised a relevant point of maybe we should, if you and Jeff and Glenn could work on the calendar, because we've got Argentina coming up, and if we want to try to have another opportunity for, like, a public forum like we did in Cape Town,
mm-hmm.
You know, we might want to have in our mind the calendar of events that we would need to be working toward to take advantage of that and to see if it's possible to work that into the agenda while it's still fairly flexible.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. We have, the only trick is that we have just added a bunch of new things that we want to do. So I think you're right that Jeff and Glenn and I need to look at the calendar and see if we can't put together something for the task force to review and for us to at least start initially slotting up some of these meetings. And hopefully they can happen relatively expeditiously and will give us plenty of time to think about what we need to do with regards to Argentina. But I imagine in the near future, within a week or so, we'll at least have an idea of how the calendar is shaping up, Marilyn. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay, well, we'll close the call then. Like I said, we look for information about some of these calls that we've discussed. We'll try to schedule them as quickly as possible so we can keep the task force moving along and starting, I think, most urgently with the call with the staff on the item number two, because we've already, that's, I think, relatively near to completion if we can resolve those concerns. Okay, thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Jordan.
And we'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.